Through prophets and kings and judges throughout the Old Testament, we see that God has tried and tried again and tried again and tried again to assist and to help and to guide Israel in keeping their covenant with God, and yet time and again they have failed. Because the intimacy that God wants to have with God's people just hasn't happened. The people, like sheep, still wander. And the shepherds that God sends, the kings and the prophets and the judges, aren't good shepherds. They act like hired hands of the sheep instead of like sheep owners. And you know what it is when you have a hired hand taking care of your business instead of you taking care of your business. It's not the same. They don't love the sheep. And so they take care of themselves first. And in Ezekiel 34, God says, the kings of Israel are like hired hands. They're not willing to risk themselves for the sheep, and so the sheep are endangered. And in the passage from John this morning, what's happened is that the Pharisees have come and they have seen the man who was born blind that Jesus healed, and they start asking questions. So they see this man healed and they start asking him questions, and then they start asking around, what's happened here? Was he really born blind? What kind of authority did this guy who healed have really? And Jesus responds. He knew that the Pharisees who were questioning him knew what he was alluding to. He was alluding to this passage from Ezekiel about hired hands. And he says, I am the good shepherd. I'm not like the hired hand shepherd. The prophet Ezekiel described that hired hand shepherd. In fact, do you see yourself in that description? Jesus implies, without really saying it, that these Pharisees and these temple authorities that are poking around asking questions really are more like hired hand shepherds than like the good shepherd. In fact, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I am seeking out my sheep now and rescuing them. I am the one in charge of the flock. Remember back to the very first announcement of Jesus' birth. When the angels came, they came first to who? Shepherds. Shepherds who were living in the fields, watching over their flocks by night. And those shepherds were like most in that part of the world. They lived in community. Those shepherds didn't go out with their sheep on their own. They went in a clump of shepherds, and they traveled a fair bit because they had to find grass. And in that part of the world, it's not nice and lush, is it? It's basically desert. And it's shrubs and little sprouts of grass here and little sprouts of grass there. And so in this rugged terrain, they spend almost all of their time taking these sheep around to find enough grass and enough water to live. And really, sheep in that part of the world are not raised to eat, because they would never become fat sheep. They're raised for their wool. And so the shepherds have the same sheep year after year after year after year. And just like those pets we were talking about in children's time, kids, what happens when you have an animal and you live with it year after year after year after year? What happens? Well, it does die eventually. That wasn't what I was going for. You get attached, don't you? You get attached year after year after year after year. I never should have called on her. I knew better. And the shepherds would name their sheep. They had, like, black ear sheep. Hey, little black ear. Hey, little brown foot. They named their sheep. It wasn't like Joe and Bob, but they named their sheep. Over the years, they would call out to their sheep, and they, every night when it was time to gather up, they would call their own sheep to them. So I would be my shepherd with my sheep, and over here's the next shepherd with his sheep. And so the sheep learned the shepherd's voice, right? And they knew, he's calling me. I'm black ear. I'm coming over, right? And all day long, they were all intermixed. But at night, they would come to their shepherd. And then the shepherd would find a place for them to sleep for the night. And it might be under a place in the mountain where there was a little bit of shield from the weather. It might be a cave if it was a good night and they found a place for good shelter. But wherever they were, they would sort of put all of their sheep in, and then they would line them with their own bodies. They would lay down around them so that if they fell asleep and an animal came to attack, it had to get past them first. And as they were gathering the sheep in, if they had a cave, they would take their rod and they'd put it really low so that the sheep had to go under the rod. Seems like a strange thing to do. It sort of reminds me of what they do at the zoo when you watch the seals and things and they do all of these different behaviors. Really what they're doing is doing the behaviors so that they can check out and make sure that they're okay. They put the rod really low so that the sheep had to go under because that way they could see all along their back and make sure that during the day that sheep hadn't had any wounds put on it. And so it was safe and they didn't need to bind it up or take care of it in the night. And if they saw a wound, then they would. They would take care of the sheep. So over time there grew a special bond between sheep and their very own shepherd. And the good shepherd protected his sheep. And he was vigilant. He was always on guard. He slept right there, making sure that nothing got his sheep during the night. He grew to love his sheep. Desmond Tutu once said about love, I love the way he says things, when the chap is in love, he will go out in all kinds of weather to keep an appointment with his beloved. Love can be demanding. In fact, more demanding than the law. It has its own imperatives. Think of a mother sitting by the bedside of a sick child through the night, impelled only by love. Nothing is too much trouble for love. The good shepherd loves. Nothing is too much trouble, even laying down his life and taking it up again. Easter is for sheep. Jesus was crucified and died and buried because nothing was too much trouble. Jesus loves us that much. And then we are called to love in the same way, to be good shepherds. And so I started looking around at different things that are happening in the world today and thought, okay, do we love the way Jesus loves? As I was looking around at some statistics, approximately 790 million people in the developing world are chronically undernourished. And we are called to love like good shepherds. Close to half of all people in developing countries are suffering at any given time a health problem that is caused by not having clean water and good sanitation. And we are called to love like the good shepherd. According to UNICEF, now this one got me, 22,000 children die every day because of poverty. And we are called to love like the good shepherd. Now, I don't know about you, but some of that is overwhelming to me. I don't know where to start. And I think we start by knowing. The shepherd knows his sheep. Every night he checks them over. He checks for wounds to see how the day has gone. UNICEF says that 22,000 children die every day. And this is the way they describe it. They say these children die quietly in some of the poorest villages on earth, far removed from the scrutiny and the conscience of the world. Being meek and weak in life makes these dying multitudes even more invisible in death. The Good Shepherd knows. Now, I watched a video this week. Charlie will appreciate this. I watched the video of the pigs. I watched a video this week of a prank. It was a candid camera type practical joke, and Charlie and I got told about it, and I went home immediately and watched it. This is the joke. It's set up in a grocery store, and they have sample sausages for people who are in the grocery store to come up and try, right? And it says fresh sausage. And people come up, and they get their fresh sausage, and it's delicious, and they want some. Every single person comes up, gets the fresh sausage, and says, I have to have that. And so the man who's running the little table at the grocery store turns around and gets out a piglet, a live, squealing piglet, and opens a box, and there's a woman down inside the box, and he hands the piglet to her, and then he shuts the box, and he turns a crank, and she sticks sausage out the side, already done. Not a single person buys the sausage. They all are disgusted, and they walk away. Now, remember, all of these people ate the sausage to start with and thought it was fabulous, right? The first step is letting ourselves know. Because once we know, we can't unknow. We have to think about the people in the world that are hurt, the people in the world who need food and water and sanitation, the children who die every day because they don't have the basic necessities of life. And like where sausage comes from, it's way easier just not to think about it. But there is a mother sitting beside that bedside, and nothing is too much trouble for her because she knows that child and she loves that child. And there is a good shepherd, and nothing is too much trouble for him because he knows that sheep and he loves that sheep. And we are called to begin to emulate the good shepherd. To know, to acknowledge, to confess what is wrong in this world. And we have to start by being honest with ourselves about the needs of our neighbors. What is, now this is a funny question, what is the sausage that you would like to be able to not know? That you just couldn't eat if you saw it right in front of you in this world today. The Good Shepherd is present, checking over the sheep every evening to see what wounds they have sustained, because the Good Shepherd loves the sheep. Now we are the hands and the feet of the Good Shepherd, and so we have to check the sheep, or else they don't get checked. Remember the women who came to the tomb? And they looked inside, and there was a young man all in white, and he said, "He is not here, he has been raised." The story has no image for the world to see unless it is played out on the screen of our lives. If we don't model our lives after the Good Shepherd, nobody will come to know the Good Shepherd. And the world will only know he is not here. The world will not learn that he has been raised. So this week, I encourage you to be present to one wound in the world. It might be a person that you know. It might be a global problem. But let yourself know the wound and love the one who is wounded. What would the Good Shepherd do? Love the sheep so much that he would lay his life down and take it back up again. So pray for the Good Shepherd to guide you, to lead you. How will God use you to shepherd his sheep? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.